You are listening to the Hello Sport Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Hello Sport Podcast. Some of unqualified opinion and unwavering bias. You are here with two gentlemen who you could accuse of, if they were a candle, burning themselves at both ends. If we were candles. I'm not saying we're candles. I'd never fucking say that, so get off my back. I'm not saying we're candles. If we were candles, Edward, are we burning from both ends?
If we were candles, you could argue that. You could argue it strongly. If we were candles. Now, am I a candle? Can't say for sure. At this point, like, you could, at this point, convince me I am a candle. You know what I mean? But historically, probably not a candle. But today might be. So that's sort of where I'm at from a candle perspective. How are you, bro?
That got me. Dude, I'm so rattled today. I can't tell a lie. I'm completely fucked. I had a sting on me yesterday that was just, I was never not going to get fucked up. And it was just like, as much as I sort of just talked to myself, look, we'll see how the day goes. We see what happens. I was getting fucked up no matter what. And fucked up I got. Late one. Real late one. Or at least
by daddy late or like late late?
Well, late for me, but also just late. 3:30. It's not early. Yeah. Like, it's not early. I didn't see the sunrise, but I mean, it'd take a real cocky motherfucker to be like, oh, 3:30, not late. Shut up, mate. 3:30 is the candle hour, dude. You're burning. You're burning at both ends at 3:30.
Well, after three, you're burning. Yeah. You're a light after three. It depends what sort of operator you are, though. Like, if you've seen a few sunrises, you're not burning at both ends until the birds start chirping, yeah. I don't think.
No. But
in your context, yeah,
if you were burning at both ends. If you're a pig and, you know, you don't think that 3:30 is a double-ended candle burn, then that's fine. If you need to hear those Sunday birds to get a real burn.
Well, Monday birds.
Well, Monday birds. You're right. Fucking Monday it is, isn't it? Good Lord. Anyway, candle's been burnt. And I woke up today grateful though, Eddie, and I think it's important to be grateful where possible. But I woke up grateful because I slept on the couch. I had one of the great headaches in modern times. They will study my brain as to how I survived it. And then I moved toward, you see the look on your child, like, what's wrong with dad? Daddy's just burnt some candles, baby. Just get away from me. Don't smell my breath. Just get the fuck away from me. But I crawled into bed from the couch at about 8:30. I then woke up at 10:15 on a Monday. And my most pressing engagement was to come and talk to you about burning candles. And I just had a moment to say thank you to the universe and to be grateful and to be appreciative, because I've got mates who I was burning said candles with yesterday who are sitting in the office right now, you know, looking for the nearest open window.
Hanging on by a thread, Tom.
By a thread.
Look, it's lovely. We were scheduled for 10 o'clock, as you know. We've pushed that out. Not through like an overwhelming necessity, but more because we could.
Because we could. So we did. Yeah, you know what?
We could, so we did.
10. Can we push 10? 10's too early. 10's too early.
Look, 10's not going to work for me.
10 ain't working for me today, baby.
Because I'm in a hotel down here in Melbourne. Got to tell you, Tom, some of the best blockout blinds I've ever come across. The blockout blind wildly underrated.
The blockout blind is underrated. Not wildly.
You don't see
completely.
Enough of them. You don't see enough of them. You don't see enough of them.
There's not enough talk about them.
No. No one talks about that. You don't walk into homes and go, my God, those blockout blinds are superb. It's not, it's not part of the conversation blinds, as much as it should be, yeah. I don't think.
No, I'm with you.
But they're a fucking game changer if you've got them in operation. I'll tell you why. No light gets in, Tom.
Blocks
so
it out.
At 10:30, you're saying to yourself, your brain's telling you it's 2 in the morning.
Roll over,
3
buddy.
In the morning.
Yeah, sun not
you
up
know
yet.
Better. You know better, but like it makes it fucking easy to sleep. So at 10, I felt it necessary to push a couple of more Z's out, and yeah. that we did.
Yeah, well, I appreciated the message. 10:30, question mark. I'm like, yeah, let's go that. And then, as it turns out, more 10:30 for 11.
For 11:15, more likely, but, you know, you get it.
You get where we're at.
Get where we're at.
Why are you in Melbourne, buddy? John, one of the great fucking end-of-year tours.
Well, start of year.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, it's one of the great tours.
No, end of year, yeah. Well, it's the last day, brah, so...
Oh, it is, isn't it?
That's upsetting, yeah. It's got me a little bit rattled, to be honest, but that's by the by.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm down here for a wedding. Wedding was yesterday. Edward Meyer married Gigi, love of his life, beautiful stuff. We ripped and teared, Tom. We ripped and teared, cocktail event.
Ooh.
Very nice.
Pound some logs.
There was I didn't have any margaritas yesterday. I had some on the way there, but not there, like rosé.
In the taxi.
But like, it was like open bar. I was like tequila.
Oh, yeah.
Rosé. All the pleasantries, all the niceties.
Yeah.
So that was fucking good. Good DJ, good dance floor. So it was hot, sweaty work last night, but
oh, that's nice.
Everyone was getting into it. It was good fun. And then, you know, a couple of nightcaps with me old mate Oliver, and That was all she wrote. But it was late.
Yeah.
The night before that was late.
Yeah.
Like candle two
work.
Late nights.
We in the
yeah, it was candle work on the Saturday night, and yeah. then like backed up with another burn last night. But we were down Chapel Street on Saturday. It that place fucking pumps, bro. It's a gentle reminder that not that I do a heap of like nightclubbing, Tom, but like it's a gentle reminder of a couple of things down here. A, what they've done to Sydney nightlife, like they've just ripped the fucking soul out of it.
Yeah.
It's now soulless, but whatever. And two, like how like we are old, you know what I mean? Like when you see 18-year-olds off their guts at Revolver, like fucking sitting by themselves in chairs and shit, like littered around the joint, you're like, holy fuck, that's youth right there.
Yeah, that's youth. I was talking to my niece a couple of days ago. She was around here, and she's like 22 or something. And she was saying, shout out Katarina, she won't listen. But she was just talking, like, I think she works on like the island and shit, and just talking about how like they go out after work. Like you leave, you don't get to the place you're going to until like 11, 12. You know, like that's the first place you go. And I was just like, fuck, that's right. I just have forgotten the ways of the ripper and the terror and the nightclub scene, you know? Yeah, yeah, we're just going out here and then we're going out like, holy shit, I don't have the stones for it anymore.
Mate, you're like, you wouldn't get to the cross before like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Like and, before and, 12 was considered really early.
Yeah, what are you doing in the cross? Are you there for lunch before midnight?
Like, bro, it's 11 o'clock. What are you doing here?
You're meeting your parents? It's fucking... I don't even remember. Like, so, I mean, in that context, 3:30 is lame.
It's lame as fuck, but it's not lame for you, buddy.
No, exactly.
So it's like, you know, it's your candle burn. It's not a candle.
You know
burn
what, dude?
In terms of like
burning candles is like, you know, the beauty's in the eye of the beholder sort of a situation. If it burns for you, then it burns true.
I've always said that.
Yeah, you have.
We've always said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the great sayings.
It is a great saying, that one. caught up with a dear friend of ours who's back from America for a couple of months, Zachy Pritch. We went to the Nelson in Bondi, and we also caught up with the Thick Ropes County off the back of another famous loss. And we all sort of settled in for a session and a half. Lot of tequila as well, actually, was my poison, amongst some other things. But tequila, certainly the main character, you could say.
Mm.
Or, you know,
the protagonist, the Tom. Protagonist. Or the yeah.
No, the protagonist was tequila. Yep. And, yeah, he obviously had some supporting cast members who did their job.
Well, you know, Leo only shines bright because of those around him. You know what I mean?
Except in Revenant when he's like crawling through the snow by himself.
Yeah, well, you could argue Tom Hardy
the bear was pretty good. Tom Hardy was
good. Well, the bear played a role. Tom Hardy played a role. The light, the natural light.
The natural light. That kid, his kid.
Photographer gets a nod.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's
but
true.
But I take your point. Look, again, he does the heavy lifting. I'm not here saying that Leo doesn't lift big, because he does. I'm merely saying that the bear played a role.
And
had the bear not attacked him and maimed him.
Yeah. The movie
then the crawling wouldn't be relevant.
Exactly. It'd be silly. It'd be like, why are you crawling? Just get up. No, it's a great point. It's a great point you make, Eddie. And as I reiterate, the supporting cast, without them, none of it's possible. So I do take a moment to thank the supporting cast of Tequila.
Who may remain unknown.
Yeah, we're not going to get into specifics of who they were. So we're at the Nelson, just ripping in. And then we went back to Henry's place and continued to rip in. And then at, you know, 3:30 rolls around and I contemplate my life and what the fuck I'm doing. Start to panic. Get me out of here. Get me home. And then you find me fucking on the couch at 4 a.m. listening to Billie Eilish, just trying to make sense of the world. Which I didn't, but luckily I fell asleep quickly before like I could get into too much weird shit on YouTube.
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole.
It's your body. It's your body. Like, you know, you just like your body, like you get knocked. You being like knocked unconscious is your body's way of going like, all right, let's shut this thing down. You've had enough. I think that's what, like, also passing out at 4 a.m. It's like, yo, we don't need to get in a Billie Eilish rabbit hole at this hour. Let's just knock this fucker out.
Yeah. We've done this before and it didn't end well. I'm calling it.
I'm calling it now. Knock him out. Shut us down.
I'm calling it now. Shut us down.
He's 15 minutes into a 35 minute Billie Eilish interview. Shut it down. Shut it down now. This guy does not know what he's doing. He is a danger to himself and those around him. So that was me, mate. But yeah, grateful to be able to wake up on a Monday and you know, roll into the office and just get to talk to you. It's been nice.
Punters and Dribblers, today's episode brought to you by Good Day, the fastest selling multivitamin of all time. Do I have data to back that up? No, I don't. That's a vibe-based thing. Big shout out to the dribblers that are already on it. It's changing lives. I think 207 reviews, 5-star, all of them at begoodhealth.com.au. If you need to hear it straight from the dribbler's mouth, go and read them, because it's been described multiple times as life-changing. As we explained last week, we are currently taking pre-orders only, as we are out of stock because it sold way quicker than anyone could have possibly expected, which we fucking love you all for. We are taking pre-orders. It'll be back in stock later this month, and if you are a subscriber, you will be getting the goods. You have not been forgotten about. BeGoodHealth.com.au, code Dribbler for 20% off. We love ya.
Punters and Dribblers, the podcast is always brought to you by the betting platform of choice over here, and that is Neds.
Neds, baby. Neds.
That's it.
Number one in Australia, in our opinion. Nay the world, nay the universe, nay the multiverse. Now, if you want to follow Tom and I and our mate Guru and our mate Sebo,
I mean, I think Tobler's on there, but who cares about that?
The profiles tab, Ed, it's an innovation by Neds where you can go and you can see what people are betting on. It is essentially accountability in app form.
Well, it's accountability personified.
Correct. There's also, obviously, the About Even group in there where everyone's sharing their own bets, giving each other shit, having a laugh, having a chuckle, having a Paul Rahihi. That's a rugby league reference that some may not get. But
no, I liked it. Now, you win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Buy a six-pack of Big Day Rosé at halosport.shop. What are we doing month of May? Because we are working our way through the remainder of the most recent vintage. Got a couple left that we want to get rid of before we then turn all of our attention to the end of the year.
Just feeling generous, Tom.
We're feeling generous, and it's sale time.
We just thought, fuck it. If you buy a case and you use the code Manly, you get $50 off the case. If you buy two cases, you get $100 off.
Yep.
You get what I'm trying to say? Go to halosport.shop. Bang, Rosé on there, code Manly, $50 off a case. Pretty fucking generous if you ask me. But we love the punter and we love the dribbler. And we're just like, let's get this vintage out there to the people that want it most.
Let's get it in the gullets of the nation.
That's right. Gullet up.
It's been lovely, mate. It's been lovely so far. Couple of giggles.
Needed it.
Which, well, they help.
They help a lot.
Laughter's the best medicine. Now, that wouldn't be a saying if it weren't true, Tom. Oh,
mate, I couldn't agree with you more. It is the best medicine. I will say that when you're hungover, it's a really good elixir. Like, it's a really good medicine. I do find off the back of a good giggle, though, my energy ain't where it needs to be, and I actually might feel worse after laughter.
Yeah. It's well, the dizzying highs with crashing lows, you know what I mean? You got to pay a toll for the giggle, so... I'm hearing you. I didn't have a headache before. I might have a little one now.
Yeah.
I will say this because I feel like I need to share things with the punter and, of course, Tom with the dribbler. It may be of no relevance to anyone and people may not care, but I have noticed, Tom, of late, I don't know how of late, but like let's say I'd say the last 3, 4, 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't been getting hungover.
Oh.
Like, used to get really fucked up headaches. They're not really playing a role anymore. Like, maybe a bit like, you
they're
know,
gone.
Not sick, but like a bit sort of flat.
The headache's gone.
They're gone, bro. I don't know what's going on, but it's good.
I mean, it's great. Is this like, are you an X-Men? Is this an evolution?
Well, I suppose what I'm trying to say is, Tom, am I witnessing my own evolution? Am I evolving before my own eyes?
Wow. I would say there probably isn't anyone that's aware of their own evolution, or at least there hasn't been to this point, you know?
No, exactly. Well, it usually like evolves across generations, right?
Exactly.
Not in the generation. I don't even know if that's true.
Well, you can't. Obviously, it changes over generations, but surely some change must happen to an individual, right? Or maybe not.
So, am I mutating, or am I like, what am I? What's happening?
Yeah, what is it? Is it a mutation?
What's
or
happening
is
it at the What's happening at the molecular level, Tom?
No, it's an important question you ask because. Because you've gone 30 years of heavy drinking and paying a toll, like having headaches. Now you don't.
Yeah, I know.
Something's happened.
And I'm not quite sure what to make of it.
Something has changed and we don't know what it is, but we know it's happening at a molecular level.
Well, it must. It has to be.
Yeah.
At the... Down with the electron.
Yeah.
And the atom and the
positive,
neutron. And
electrons, neutrons, nucleus.
Yes. Nucleuses and et al.
Et al. The atom, splitting the atom.
That's sort of like, that's all I got down there.
No, yeah. That's
Higgs bosons and shit.
Higgs
you know?
Bosons, dude. Yeah. I can't think of anything else.
Positrons, is that a thing?
Look, it could be, Eddie. Positive and negative ions. what's the shit where they... Like, quantum physics, you know? Quantum mechanics.
Yeah. Quantums.
Fucking hell. All right. Apologies, Pundus Dribblers. Apologies. Sincere apologies. I haven't had a chance to go back and watch the ending to the cricket yesterday. Like, I was watching it, but I was, as has just been previously outlined, you know, Tequila and the supporting cast were on stage, so there wasn't as close attention paid as maybe one would expect from a Top of the Heap sports podcast.
Well, when you're ripping and tearing,
I'm ripping and tearing.
Your attention has the potential to wane.
Yes. But they were none for 50 and then all out.
Well, they were none for 68.
Right.
I know that because I watched the replay this morning. I was at a wedding, and as much as I love my nation and as much as I love Test cricket, couldn't really be in the corner fucking pounding KO into the earth. So no. I just kept checking my phone, what's happening with the score. None for 68, and then next time I check, they're all out for 124 or something like that. And I'm like, that is so fucking disgusting. I've gone back and watched the dismissals. I think we can all agree, English and Australian alike, that the Poms threw in the towel. They threw in the towel.
Just gave up.
They gave up. They
some go, of the, you I know did see what? One where, like, when you're trying it's to, time to go the home. Test, there were some dudes, like, throwing their wicket away. Like, I just remember seeing one of the most, like, unnecessary, like, you know, like, T20-esque, like, slog shots, and he just got bowled clean. You're like, what the fuck are you doing to Pat Cummins?
Mm.
Get your head out of your ass, dude. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck, dude. That's not going to end well for you because Blue Eyes is the best in the business. Yeah, so I'm not really getting it. And it's not like they were fucking chasing some outrageous total.
That's what I mean. They weren't chasing an outrageous total, and they had time. You could have just batted your... Like, obviously, it's difficult to chase, but, like, you could have just chilled the fuck out and slowly eked away runs.
They wanted to go home. They were over it. They were like, it's time to pack it up. It was their best opening stance, like, partnership, none for 68 in 8 years. So, like...
What? 8 years? Is their in best
Australia,
opening...
In Australia.
Oh, okay.
In Australia.
Fucking hell. Still, that's disgusting. That's still sad. Like, that's still, like, an indictment on English cricket.
68 is not much, bro. Like, no. What the fuck?
That's what Smudge averages. That's a bad day out for Smudge, who's out.
So, in 8 years, that would be 3 tours. So, like, 12 tests, I think. No, 15 tests. Pretty so fucking ordinary. Two innings. Gross. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. 30 digs. But they gave up, Tom. So, you know, a little bit disappointing, I suppose.
Like, well, you know.
You got to show a bit more fucking tigger than that. But I will.
That was day three, Tom, though, wasn't it? Yesterday?
Friday, Saturday. Yeah, it was day three.
Yeah, just another 3 day. Like, fucking hell, England. Like, can we not just get. Like, yeah, Australia's good and we did well, but you guys are so fucking weak. We've been robbed of more days Test cricket this summer because of English ineptitude than anything La Nina's done or could have done. Days and days. We've almost lost, like, what, at least a full test worth of fucking days? 2 3-day finishes. One was like
two and a half day finish in Melbourne.
2.5 in Melbourne.
Yep.
Three in Hobart.
Mm-hmm.
Did the Gabba go 5? I don't know if the Gabba went 5.
Don't think so. I'm just trying to get up their collapses for the punter and the dribbler because it's interesting reading.
I feel like the Gabba might have been 4. Adelaide was 5, I think. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, was it? Adelaide was 5. MCG was 2.5. Sydney was 5. Hobart, 3.
Yeah. Well, that's good memory. You could be completely wrong.
I could be completely wrong.
I respect you for trying.
I'd lean more heavily in camp wrong.
Yes, so would I.
I think.
Okay, so England's Ashes collapses. 10 wickets for 56 runs in Hobart, second innings.
Jesus.
10 wickets for 61 runs at the MCG in the second innings. 8 wickets for 74 at the Gabba in the second innings. And 8 for 86 at Adelaide in the first innings. It's just bush league. It's bush league wherever you look.
Through and through.
Like, at the start of the series, it was like, oh, thank God Ben Stokes is coming. Like, without him, we're no chance. What the fuck's Ben Stokes done?
Nothing.
Nothing. And then you like, look at this new, hot, sexy, fucking absolute 2 meter specimen. Like, gorgeous, only going to get hotter.
Yeah.
Takes 3 big wickets to get us cracking. Beautiful 74 the other day in Cameron Green, who's 22. And you're like, bruh, move over.
Yeah. Fuck the
new
off,
fucking
Ben.
Sheriff. There's a new sheriff in town.
And his name's Cameron. And he's
going to be here for 15 years. So get used to him.
Shout out to blonde pubic hair, which I assume he has as well. Just as a side note, I can't imagine.
Blonde pubic hair has had a fucking rough go of it, Tom. So shout out to it.
I feel like it's sort of something that, you know, seems weird, but I think baggy green's bringing blonde pubes back, and for that, I'd just like to say good on you and shout out to you. He is, and I don't know exactly here in terms of the numbers, Eddie. But they keep comparing him to Steve Waugh, who was much more of an all-rounder when he started, obviously, for those of you that don't know. Batted and bowled. And it's like, I think maybe he has the same or like a bit, you can maybe even Google it, but like his batting and bowling is basically on par with Steve Waugh at the same time in his career.
Is that right? Mm. That's exciting, Tom.
It's exciting. I don't know if you've heard of Steve Waugh, punters and dribblers. The kid could play cricket, let me tell you that.
Cameron's got Aussie captain about him too, Tom.
He does have Aussie captain. He'd have to be the tallest Aussie captain we've ever had, right, if we were to have him. I don't know if there's numbers on that. Surely it's cricket. There would be numbers, but...
Yeah, and there is an inherent link between respect and height.
Yep.
Well, tall people are quicker at it.
Tall people, you just will get respect, whether they've earned it or not. Now, he will earn it, and he is earning it, but...
He's also tall, so it's sort of like respect squared, if you know what I mean.
Well, you're starting from a higher base level of respect, right? If just the normal person's respect is here, if you're watching the YouTube, then if you're over 6 foot, and not just over, like 6'1", you're probably still here, but if you're like 6'3 and up... I think that your respect starts like...
Well, he's like 6'5", isn't he?
Yes, but I'm just saying, where does the extra respect start? And I think it's 6'3 and up.
I can tell you right now, it's not starting at 6 foot.
No.
It's 6'3", 6'4", maybe 6'4".
I think maybe 6'4", actually. Now to hear you, I think 6'3", you still don't get respect. I think from 6'4" and up, people are like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I respect
that. That bloke's got something about him, and I now have to respect him.
Or Sheila. But the taller you are as a Sheila,
sometimes the less respect you'll get.
Well, it's more just like, I think that the respect that comes from a taller man is one of like, this guy might fuck me up if he really wants to push. If push comes to shove.
Yes.
And let's hope it doesn't. Whereas the taller you are as a female, that's not really, that's not the conversation that's being had, despite the fact that that may be true. The taller you are as a female, you can fuck up anyone. But it's just a different situation. It's a different algorithm, and look, we can get into that at another time.
But look, the math's different.
The math's different. It is, and that takes... We've obviously got to get back in the lab and work that one out as to where respect starts.
Look, I could go pound the whiteboard or the blackboard, but there's something about using chalk that I think...
I was thinking that...
Resonates with me, Tom.
Yeah, it brings out the professor in me.
Yeah, nothing awakens the you're in a professor like chalk on board.
Always said it. nothing awakes you're in a professor like chalk on a board. Oh, God.
Quote
that one up, punters and dribblers. But it's a good point. It's a salient Monday point.
Yeah, where to from here? Cameron Green, obviously, you could make an argument that he is the, you know, he's the hottest find in a long time for us.
In world cricket, but for us specifically, yes, I agree.
He's a hot fucking find, so that's nice. Scotty Boland, a hot fucking find.
Dude, Scotty Boland now, not like a Michael Nesser, you know, can you bowl some overs for us when we've got an injured Josh Hazlewood? It's like, he's now like the next best bowler in the country outside of our top four. But also, like,
what do you reckon?
What do you do with him? Because you kind of don't want him. You need him a little bit. Like, he was kind of the best.
But like, what do you do? Pakistan first test, for argument's sake.
I think you have to get Country Boy back in because of what Country Boy's done.
But yeah, I'm saying, does Boland stay for Stark, or does?
Well, Stark kind of, they're not like for like bowlers, right? Stark's more wild man. And Boland and the Country Boy are more like line length, put it on a fucking 5 cent piece, consistency, meticulous, metronome, you know. Do I know what I'm talking about, Eddie? No, that is what I would say.
I was asking you to speak from the vibes perspective.
Well, it is vibes based because I don't know anything. So even though it seems like I'm talking from some level of being informed, I'm not. I don't know what I'm talking about, so it's vibe. But I'm just using, explanations and maybe reasoning methodology beyond my pay grade to justify my vibe. And it's that Boland and Hazlewood similar. Boland, Stark, not. Do you just have two Hazlewoods and then you lose what Stark brings? I don't know, but it's certainly not as the bowling quartet, Eddie, as they are called in cricket circles, is no longer so set and forget. Stark, Hazlewood, Cummins, fucking shut up everyone else. Now it's like, oh, like, we have Scotty Bowles in the wings.
Like it has been for a long time. Like it has but been then for a long again, time. It's like it's a quartet, sure. But it's sort of becoming a five tet, and obviously I acknowledge that that's not the right word, but
no, it is.
At the top, we explained where we're at as people, as men, and it's what comes after four, five. So it's a five tet.
It's fast becoming a five tet. You could say six tet if you wanted to throw in Smudge or Marnus, a seven tet. I don't know, but it's certainly a five tet for now.
Well, it's a five tech because Cameron Green bowls 145 kilometres if he wants to and fucking takes big wickets, big scalps. Yeah. So that's what I mean by that. He took the first three wickets last night. Look it up. Do some research. Play a bit more of a role.
Yeah.
So it's a five tech, punters and dribblers. And it feels nice to say.
Yeah. It's a serious five tech. And all we're saying is Scotty Boland has worked himself into such a state. He's primed that thing. He is now just sort of sitting just outside of the five tet, first pick five tet, hard as a fucking blood diamond, ready to rip and tear for his nation at a moment's notice.
Yeah, at a moment's notice. On a moment's notice. It makes you think, right? It's like, is this just like, thank God we found Scotty? Or are there cunts out there that, like, if given the opportunity, can do a job, but we just haven't seen them because our quartet was so tight, so fucking...
Well, yeah. Locked. Like, I mean, we had the... What was his name? James Pattinson. Like, he was a wild man who I always liked the look of in a baggy green, you know, in the cream.
I liked him even more when he arm sleeved up as well.
Correct, Eddie. He was an intimidator, an enforcer. I believe he once... either had a soul patch or a soul patch.
He had a tickler. He had a tickler.
Like, he had a tickler, but I think maybe even a stud in the mouth there.
Did he have a stud?
Like where the soul patch is?
Yes. Yes.
It's a drop-in soul patch.
What's it referred... I was going to say, what's it referred to as?
Yeah.
So it's a drop-in soul patch.
It's a drop-in soul patch.
That makes sense. That's as opposed to an indigenous soul patch. Oh, that got me. That got me. Help.
Oh, fucking hell.
Apologies, punters and dribblers.
Sorry, punters and dribblers.
I'm back.
I got tears.
I'm back. I'm crying too. I'm crying too. You gotta,
you gotta cry.
You gotta take stock. You gotta take stock of a laughing cry, yeah. Crying laugh, whatever. Because they don't happen that often.
They don't. So
you don't see them that often.
When they happen, you gotta drink them in.
You gotta drink them in. Oh. That's funny. That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. So,
So what does that mean for the nation now?
It means we're in a good position. We're
other than
good.
To say that we look hot.
That pitch was a fucking piss take. That was the greenest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I was thinking about that, right? Like, I must admit, I must profess that I don't watch a whole lot of Tasmanian Shield cricket. That may shock the punter and the dribbler, but it's true.
Yeah. You got to be up front.
You got to be up front. Like, if that is an ode to, like, the Shield decks they roll out, I understand them, like, putting forward a wicket that is, like,
representative of cricket.
That as that pitch. Do you know what I mean? Like, if that's the case, then I'm happy with it, right? It's like, in memory, I'm pretty sure the Hobart deck's always pretty green.
That green?
So, like, I don't know if it was that green, Tom.
The only reason you could see the pitch was because the grass was shorter than the grass directly next to it. Like, there wasn't a change in color, at least at the start of the test. It was like, oh, that's just shorter fucking someone's mowed a pitch into their backyard.
Yeah, I understand. But, like, part of me likes there being character to pitches. Do you know what I mean?
Agreed.
Like, in the drop-in aids, they're all pretty fucking similar, and it's a bit of a yawn. Like, I like them being different.
Do you think that the batting from Australia was poor because of the pitch? Like, was that just, it was just a green?
Well, I think in hindsight, given, like, how England performed, 300...
was actually very good.
It was pretty fucking good in the first innings. Like, that was rock solid. So I think we batted well.
Travis 100 on that pitch is...
Dude, that's one of the... They're calling it like one of the great tons.
It was fucking impressive, bro. Like, and also the situation the game was in. Like, you know, and him coming back, and it was like... It's not like there was any pressure on him. But there was a big selection call made in dropping Harris for Khawaja and all that sort of shit. And, like,
he just came out and wasn't front-footed. Yeah, there wasn't pressure on him. He just wanted to shore things up.
Yes.
And fucking oath he's done that.
Mate, like, he has shored the shit out of it now. Like,
I tell you what he's got a bit about, Tom. And we were talking about this the other night. And I think you may agree. I think he's got a bit of team song leader about him.
Ooh, a bit of under the southy.
Well, when Gary goes, who does Gary give it to?
It's got to be a mainstay. I was going to say, if it wasn't Trav, I would throw potentially, Scotty Bowles. Because you like someone who's a bit shy and who...
He's not always in the team.
That's the problem. But when Lyon was given it, he was...
Why do you want people... Yeah.
When Lyon was given it, I was kind of like, oh, I don't think Lyon was at the point in his career then, and I could be wrong because I don't know anything, but that I don't think Lyon's position was as shored up as I feel like you need to be bestowed that fucking responsibility. Now, as it turns out, Lyon, you know, fucking 400 test wickets, like, but...
He was given that in 2013, dude.
Yeah,
ages ago.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I like the idea of someone like Scotty Bowles, who is, seems like shy, maybe not, like, again, I'm just completely psychoanalyzing a person that I've never met and have seen bowl cricket balls a few times, but shy, maybe not, like, loud or like outwardly confident.
Humble, modest. Humble,
modest. And something like this forces him into the limelight that he deserves but retires away from, if that makes sense.
It does. Makes perfect sense. Makes a lot of sense.
I think it'd mean a lot to him. Now, will he get it? Probably, almost definitely not. But I don't mind the Trav shout, Eddie. I don't mind the Trav shout.
You just, yeah. Again, being a bit of a mainstay is important. It is. I like the idea of a Cameron Green maybe doing it. Yes. I don't know historically if... I think Gary was the first bowler.
Was he?
Dior, that. I think Dior. Yeah.
Wow, God, that's a bit of fucking... That's almost like... I don't know what the word is, Eddie, but it's a word that's used very frequently in today's society. But basically, it seems a little... I don't know if it's discriminatory is the word I'm looking for, but it seems a little discriminatory that bowlers were kept out of the reckoning for singing under the Southern Cross until 2013.
Credited to former wicketkeeper Rod Marsh. Rod Marsh gave it to Alan Border. Alan Border gave it to David Byrne, I'm incorrect. So there you go.
What do you mean?
Burnie gave it to Burnie Heels. No, Burnie's a wicketkeeper, so...
Burnie wasn't a wicketkeeper.
Did he bowl?
No, he was a batter.
Yeah, right. I thought he bowled.
If he bowled, it would have been... I don't think there was any fucking... It would have been incredibly part-time-ish.
Yeah, no, you're right. 14 first-class wickets.
One of the great bowlers.
So ignore me, punters and dribblers. So David Byrne gave it to Ian Healy. Healy gave it to Punter. Then when Punter became captain, he gave it to JL. JL gave it to Hussey. Hussey gave it to Nathan Lyon.
Interesting. I was thinking about that. Like, if you're captain, you don't want to be singing it as well. So it's like when I become skipper.
No, you can't do both.
No. It's like give someone else a fucking go. So but Punter had it. That's crazy.
He did, yeah.
They give it to some fucking throbbers, dude. Like, that's a serious...
Is that a list or what?
That's a list. So you can't just be giving it out. Greatest respect to Scotty Boland, and you've had a great summer, but you're not there yet. You're certainly not there yet.
No, you're not.
I don't mind Trav there. I don't mind Trav. Travis, as we said a couple of weeks ago, I thought Travis was fucking in his 30s, dude. He's like 27. Like,
Travis Head also looks like Burnie.
He does it. Well, he's a sensitive new age Burnie. He's Burnie on a diet, fucking...
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, very similar.
He's Boonie with a fucking gluten intolerance.
Yes. Yes, he is, Tom. Yes, he is. Now.
And he's 27, and I'm happy for him to...
That's not very old, Tom.
Dude, that's not old. There's a lot of cricket in those legs.
Lots of it. How old's David Warner?
35, Eddie.
Dude, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And now he's just getting into his work. And that 100 on a fucking spicy-ass deck with the game in the balance. And also, it was beautiful to see Baggy Green get first innings runs when we needed him. That was a great 70. I would have loved to see him go on and get his maiden, but I don't give a fuck, really. It was more just about showing that you are... an all-rounder, you've taken wickets like it's going out of fashion, but now you're scoring first innings runs when we are under the pump.
We can worry about the ton later, Tom. We can worry about the ton later. 74 brave runs, we needed them, or 74 odd, whatever the fuck it was, is exactly what the doctor ordered, and that's that.
Yeah.
And that...
The doctor ordered
is that. Well, the doctor did order it, and the doctor gets what he orders, so...
74 of the best were required, and they were delivered. So that was impressive, dude. I mean, that was as erection-inducing as 74 runs has ever been for this nation.
Ever been.
Ever. Serious pilot boner meds situation.
Exactly right. So, in summation, Tom.
Yep.
We're too fucking good.
We're too good. That's the reality. That's the reality of the situation, is that we are too good.
We're too good. So, fuck the lot of you.
Yeah, fuck the lot of you. Now, I do have something that I need to address.
What is it?
Firstly, before I do, what ended up happening with that Novak thing?
Novak thing. Dude, can I be honest with you? I think he might be playing the first round. Let me look it up. And like maybe getting like
kicked out mid tournament?
Potentially.
Or is he gone?
I don't know. Oh no, he's left. He's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah. He's gone. It's done.
So what happened?
Novak Djokovic leaves Australia after losing his bid to stay. The unvaccinated tennis star said he was extremely disappointed but would respect a court's ruling. He departed on a flight to Abu Dhabi from Melbourne Airport on Sunday night. Wow.
Do they say why, though? Like, what was it that he... like? How? Did
well,
he
so, bas- so basically, the court ruled that Australia's Immigration Minister, Alex Hawke, was within his rights to cancel the unvaccinated tennis star's visa for a second time on the basis that the player could pose a risk to public health and order.
Right.
Okay. Like, I don't see really what the risk is, but anyway.
Well, there isn't one, but whatever. I also thought that because he'd had it, and I'm already fucking falling asleep as I say it, but I thought because he had it, he was now antibodied up and couldn't get vaccinated because you can't, like, that's, like, you actually have to wait a couple of months or whatever after having it before you get any, like, booster or this or that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just fucking full to the brim of shit.
Look, we've been over this fucking shit ad nauseum, but it is fucking wild what they've done here, Tom.
Yeah. It's been a shit show.
Shit show from start to finish. But like, it just seems to me, Tom, that it's like political, and they're looking to buy votes because there's an election coming up.
Yeah, that's what
and there's a lot of like fuck Novak, fuck anti-vaccination, sort of mentality running around. Especially old conservatives, they fucking eat this shit up with a spoon, dude.
He's
so
in the fucking danger.
I reckon
there's just not that many anti-vaxxers, dude. When you've got 94% of the population who is vaccinated, I'm like, I'm not really buying this fucking argument that there is some huge amount of anti-vaxxers in the country.
Well, the proof's in the pudding now, Tom. There isn't. It's just they make a lot of noise, or a lot of noise is
made
around
about
them.
Yeah. But it's actually like, dude, relax. There's not that many.
Like one of Alex Hawke's reasons for canceling the visa was that he didn't want to breed anti-vaccination sentiment. I'm like, bruh, 95% of people are vaccinated. Like,
but that's
I don't, I don't think it's a big deal.
And then what? They're going to be like, oh, but Novak fucking got in, so now I don't want to get vaccinated. Like, really? It's already done.
That seems like a fairly long bow to draw.
Doesn't it?
Don't you think?
Very long bow.
So no Novak. I still think, part of me still thinks that Alex Hawke might be a Roger fan. I can't shake it, Tom.
He might be what?
A Roger Federer fan. I just can't shake it.
Look, I mean, I don't think that that's out of the question.
What's the longer bow to draw? That Alex Hawke's protecting Roger Federer's Grand Slam record, or that he thinks there's a legitimate risk to
the health and safety of the nation? Yeah.
I think it's probably the former.
Because I also don't think that politicians give a fuck about anyone. They just want to get reelected. So the only person he cares about is maybe Roger Federer, because, you know, he gets to put up an Instagram post one day of him and Rog being mates. But the health and safety of the nation, I don't think Alex, whatever the fuck his name is, I don't think he cares.
No, I don't think
he gives a rat's ass.
I don't
think so. I tell you what, we also probably owe an apology to our good friend Nard, Bernard Tomic, who did test positive for COVID. He called it Nostradamus, Nostra Bernard. He said he was coming down with it. No one listened. Everyone wanted to jump on the fucking bash Bernie bandwagon. Not us, but we were questioning his ability to call COVID 3 days out. Turns out, I don't think you even need any rat tests anymore. You just need a nod. And he just comes up, looks at you. Yeah, you got it. You got COVID.
Yeah. No, I can tell.
Yeah.
No, I can tell.
NARD test.
Yeah. Have you done a NARD, bro? You done a NARD,
fuck,
bro?
Fuck PCRs and rat tests. Just get a NARD.
Yeah, fuck them off. Fuck them off. Just get a NARD. NARD will tell you. NARD knows. Nose tapped. Yeah. NARD's tapped in. Congratulations to NARD. But also maybe, I'm not apologizing, but like, no. You know, we may have, we didn't take his abilities seriously, Tom.
That's exactly it.
We didn't realize that NARD had a certain skill set that maybe transcends the observable reality in which we exist.
Correct.
He's tapping into like other dimensions, other planes.
Yes.
Et al. I would like to shout out a proud Australian, Tom.
Yeah.
Who over the last couple of years has probably slipped from the public's conscious because he suffered injuries and shit. But Tanasi Kokkinakis.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Won his first ATP title the other day in Adelaide. And the kid can play. He's only 25, so he's got years ahead of him.
Yeah.
He's a vibe, bro.
He is a vibe. I'm excited by Tanasi. He excites me.
He excites me, dude. Yeah. He's an excitable guy. So I just wanted to shout him out.
Yeah. No, he did well. Beat Cilic, I think, in the semi.
Like, don't sleep on Tanasi.
Dude, do not. The last thing you should be doing is sleeping on Tanasi. He ain't a bed, punters, dribblers. You don't
He ain't a mattress, bro. That's no mattress you're laying on.
No. That's a human being. That's a man.
That's a winner. That's a winner.
Yeah.
It's a winner.
Mate, you knock off a grand
Tanasi's
slam.
Tanasi's a winner.
Has Cilic won a slam? I feel like he has. Tanasi. Of
US
of
Open,
not a mattress.
Fucking, US Open, done other year deal.
Yeah, recently-ish though, but yeah, Tanasi fucking got the job done against a slam winner in Cilic, at least a finalist. So
beautiful stuff.
You don't fucking sleep on that motherfucker.
No, you don't sleep on that motherfucker. So I'll be out there today, ripping and tearing.
That's right. Who are you watching?
Duckworth. You know Duckworth?
Yes.
Is it? What's his first name? Does it matter?
James.
No. James Duckworth. I think you might rewrite. I think he's playing today. We'll probably go check him out. A little bit of fucking Aussie, oi, oi, oi. You know what
I mean? Yeah, I get you.
Well, I, to be honest, Tom, I looked at the schedule last night when I, you know, was well on my way, and it's all but slipped from my memory.
That's what
I'm going to have to touch up on that. We've only got grand passes, so we'll just nip about. You don't really want to get stadium games this early in the going anyway, because generally it's like Nadal pounding some loser into the ground. six love. It's like,
you don't see a guy return a shot.
Right. Like, was the juice worth the squeeze on that one? Possibly not. So you keep it groundy early, Tom.
Yeah,
ground yourself early.
Get a couple of rough diamonds, India.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Go out and watch the Hackers, bro.
That's it.
What it's all about.
Yeah, yeah. Get to
you
see some rallies,
mean?
Dude. I want to see some beaters fucking
well,
return.
What, you know what I want to see, Tom?
Beaters without winning shots, you know what I mean?
I want to see passion. I want to see passion.
Yep. Well, that's
now,
cool. When are you flying back to this great state?
Tomorrow.
I was going to say, surely you're not doing it today.
No surely fucking way, Thomas. No way. My holiday is not yet over.
No,
it's drawing to a close, Tom. The final song is playing.
Yeah.
The encore, if you will.
Yeah, the lights have been turned up.
But my spirit lives on.
Yeah, and that's why that's
important. So just a gentle nod of the head to what has been another great horizontal season.
Mm.
For those of you unaware, from this period until Australia Day, end of January is
horizontal
is
season.
Still not upright territory.
No.
I start to head back to my feet.
Yeah, you're
but it takes time.
It's not an overnight thing. Like, it takes a few days to fucking...
Well, weeks.
Weeks, yeah, to get fully upright.
Two, generally.
Yeah, like, you're sort of right now. If you see Eddie Walker, he's on all fours. He's like crawling, basically. If he's got to get somewhere... He doesn't walk.
Yeah, I'm hunched. I'm hunched over.
Or like you're walking like fucking gorillas do.
Yeah.
You
well,
I mean?
Exactly right. Yeah. You're not crawling. You're sort of like Tarzan
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's Tarzan work until you sort of, you're back, again, it's that evolution and then you back up. You know what I mean? You start
and I back up,
and then you fucking yeah,
like
slowly.
That, like that, like that. You know that image that people wear on shirts, yeah. which is always a little bit surprising. And then yeah. someone adds like, "Oh, it's like back at a computer, like de-evolution, de-evolution."
Exactly.
Clever. That's where you are. Really clever.
Really clever. Oh, you're making me think. With your t-shirt, I need to bring to your attention. I think I even messaged you yesterday saying that
you did. Yeah, you did.
Henry, friend of the show, 20 Wells, has a gripe. He had a gripe, and he raised it with me at the
I misread your message yesterday as well. I like misread.
Sorry, punters, dribblers, had a technical glitch there of the... had a technical glitch, let's just leave it at that. We were saying that Henry has a gripe with us. You said you misread my text message.
And thought he had a gripe with me, and I was like, edge.
So you thought it was like a personal...
But then I reread it, and I'm like, okay, that makes me feel slightly better, but go on.
So you'll remember, Eddie, and the punter and the dribbler may not sure. Some of you definitely will. Remember when you and I were on the ground for the Manly Seagulls, getting around basically with all the other club legends and sort of, you know, waving to the adoring fans?
Yes, I remember
that
it
was
well.
Organized and facilitated by one Henry Wells.
Yes,
basically got us to the Golden Eagles Day, got us tickets. We then subsequently were on the field. We then subsequently went to the post-game sort of celebrations afterwards. The function, if you will, which is the first time that we met the Turbo Bros, Turbo's dad. It was the first proper annual general meeting, or whatever the fuck they're called, of the Tomato Farmers Union.
AGM, Tom, yeah. AGM. That was first.
It was a... and I don't know why this saying means anything, and I don't know if it's correct here, but a red letter day?
Yeah. Like a red panty day.
Yeah, I don't know why the fuck that means anything, but, and it probably is wrong. It was a big day for us. Henry felt like if that doesn't get you baggy green, what does? Now, as he's explaining this to me,
it's an excellent point.
I had to basically say, look, it's hard for me to. It's hard. I don't have an answer for you as to why that isn't baggy green worthy. He was like, I'm not even. He's like, and this is a couple of years. It's not like he's been holding on to this.
What was the tipping point?
I don't
Thank
know.
Thank you, my love. Coffee? No coffee.
Oh, no, you wanted the coffee,
sorry. That's okay.
Right.
That's okay. That's okay. Didn't, no coffee. No Got coffee. The roll though, Tom. Right, Got the okay. roll. No coffee.
What? You don't want?
Oh, it's a ham cheese cross. It's a ham cheese croissant.
Oh, great.
I like croissants, so this is okay.
I love croissants as well, but like, what the fuck?
Thank
what
you,
are,
my love.
What are we doing without a coffee? You know what I mean? What's that about?
Well, it's a question that I'm asking myself, Tom. Yep. Here, it's left me fairly rattled. I thought that went without saying.
I didn't know you wanted a coffee. Like, I mean, you also just heard my conversation when we had the glitch. I was having to basically fight tooth and nail for a fucking bacon and egg roll from Steph. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on here.
Look, I'll be. I love Ella with all my heart, and I appreciate her bringing me a ham cheese croissant. But I'll say this, Tom. I'll say this. If roles were reversed and I returned without a coffee, I would be castrated on the spot. Yeah. And that's a fact.
That's a fact.
That's a fact. And you can take that to the fucking bank.
You can take that to the bank. I'd be writing a eulogy right now for Eddie.
Yeah, you would be. It'll be all over. Hello yeah. Sport would see, like, it you know, just, it'd be done.
We'd be fucked. And that's the same with my situation where Steph was like, I don't know where I'm going to get a bacon and egg roll from. And I said, hey, listen. That's the biggest load of shit I've ever heard in my life. Have you heard of an establishment called a cafe? Any one of those will sell a bacon and egg roll. And if they don't, you have my permission to set the joint on fire.
Can I use a comparison, Tom? It's like calling going, oh, the car's almost out of fuel. I'm not sure where to get any. It's like...
That's it. I don't know how to get petrol.
You know exactly where to get it. Now, sharpen the fuck up and get daddy a bacon egg roll.
Because, you know, I'm struggling.
I'm talking to Tom about his story. She's upset. I'm like, bruh, you can't hear the other end.
Who the fuck have we partnered up with in life? Who are these women?
Hopeless.
Hopeless. Shout out to both of them. Love you both very much.
Of course.
Henry, baggy greens, not happy. Have we, does he deserve one? I don't, I mean, he makes a compelling argument. All I said to him was, mate, I you know what? Your case is so strong for a baggy green. The only reason that I think that you probably weren't awarded one is because I sometimes think with like your, I just almost feel like I didn't think that you'd want one somehow, which doesn't make sense necessarily, but like, you know.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. Because who wouldn't want one?
Of course, who wouldn't want one? More like I didn't have, I didn't know how much of a dribbler he was.
Oh, he's a dribbler.
Oh, he's a fucking dribbler, clearly. I just didn't even really think about it.
I think we can comfortably put this down to Tom.
A clerical error?
This is an admin error. It's clerical, obviously. Mm. The cleric has missed it.
Yeah.
I assume the cleric does clerical duties.
I would say that
I could be wrong.
No, I think you're pretty spot on there, mate.
I don't even know what the fuck a cleric is, but
I don't know if there is a cleric.
But it is clerical.
It's the error is clerical in nature.
Is clerical. Yeah, it's clerical. It's a clerical error. Clerical errors can be fixed.
Mm, they can. Rectified. Remedied.
They can be rectified easily, remedied. And remedied they will be. Mm. I think Henry gets one on the face of it. I think he gets one.
Yeah.
On the weight of,
like, you know, how else,
weight.
Yeah, like if you on the weight of weight, like how do you
on the weight of weight he gets one. Yeah. So congratulations to Henry.
Yeah, another baggy green member. Now listen.
Good stuff.
He did. I mean, if you think you've got a case to make, then we're happy to be your matter will be heard in the highest court in the land, which is us.
The Court of Dribbling Yarn.
The Court of Dribbling Yarn.
Yeah. It's higher than the High Court. So,
it is,
you know.
Yeah, exactly. Novak did actually, was going to take his case once he got rejected again to the Court of Dribbling Yarn, and he went, you know what, I'm spent, fuck it, I'm out of here.
Yeah, oh, he's out of money, he's out of puff, yeah. So that's why.
Yeah, but, you know, if you think you've got a case, you can make your case. I would say that this would be a landmark case, but also one that is, there aren't many of these getting about. You know, where it's like, oh, I think I'm owed a baggy green, like a historical fucking sort of clerical.
Historical baggy green, yeah. You don't see it often, but every now and then. But you know what? In the fullness of time, you're going to see it all, aren't you? And we've seen it. Landmark. Congratulations to Henry.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Welcome to the 11.
Love the punter, love the dribbler.
Yeah, love them all.
Tom, is that us?
Oh, mate, it couldn't be more us.
Yeah.
We're done. Dunzo.
Dunzo. So I'm off.
Excited to see you back on Thursday, back in the studio, ready to rip into you.
It'll be nice to hug and kiss again, bro.
It'll be good. Ciao, ciao.
Could you two just not talk anymore?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.